Live music is largely on hold right now as most music venues are closed down and artists have put their tours on hold. Some musicians have been live streaming performances over the internet, but for those of us missing the energy of a concert with a crowd, it's a good time to listen to some of our favorite live albums. Our next guest says he wasn't always a fan of live recordings, but these days he is seeing the appeal and he's here to share some of his favorites. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite live album or concert video? Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. Justin Barney is the music director at 88.9 Radio in Milwaukee. Justin, good to have you back on Central Time.
It's good to be here, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Now, you wrote that you weren't always a fan of live albums, but you've been coming around. What changed your mind on live recordings?
Yeah, you know, I think that I just, you know, I had a clever opinion. I think that we do this thing in music sometimes where it's like, you know, there is an ideal version of this song. Why would I listen to the live version when they made the perfect version in the studio? The live version is just a watered down version of like of the original thing. And so I think like I had that clever opinion. And so that allowed me to be like, I'm not listening to live music at all because we don't have the time to listen to everything. And when you have an opinion like that, it makes it easier to like kind of check things out. And so but then I watched this Grateful Dead documentary that is on Amazon right now, and it is very good. And then Sylvan Esso with this live album came out. And also I ordered a Nick Cave album from my local record store, Rushmore Records, here in Milwaukee. And Dan threw in a live album as well. And so I kind of like listened to all these three live albums, and I was like, you know what? What was I doing all those years? These live albums are great. It's such a different vibe and energy, and you hear the audio. And I've opened the doors in a way that I haven't before, and it's such a great way to listen to and hear these albums like I never did before. It's rediscovering things that I already knew.
Now that you're a convert, what do you think makes for a good live album experience?
It's really interesting listening to all of these because you kind of like hear the different ways that there are to record live albums. Like the Grateful Dead's live albums are in front of gigantic audiences, but you don't really hear any of that audience. And there are like in the Sylvan Esso With album, you really do hear the audience. And so you hear these like different kind of takes that you can have on one. And like, personally, I like the audience in there. I like when you can hear the crowd interacting with the singer because that is what makes a live thing special, is that the audience feeds the singer, and then the singer is fed by that energy and gives it back to the audience. That is just something that you don't get on a studio album. And that sometimes when I'm in the crowd at a show, I don't really feel like I am a part of the show in a way that I hear it on these recordings. And so I like hearing a bit of that audience in there to kind of like to understand and feel that relationship, that like transfer of energy between the singer and the audience.
Well, we've got some examples that you provided to share, Justin. I'm going to be selfish though, yeah, and share one of mine here. One of my earliest live albums, U2, Under a Blood Red Sky, because it kind of illustrates your point. Here's a listen to the opening of that album. All right, I could just let the whole album play now, honestly, and skip the rest of the show. Justin, I love this one, but this is my favorite U2 album of all time. The live version killed some studio versions for me. They seem boring by comparison. I don't know. Have you ever had that feeling?
That's such a great example. That is such a great example right there in just playing that tiny clip of like, you know, there's this moment where I was at a Billie Eilish concert this past summer, and she just held the microphone out to the crowd and she said, "Let it out. You know, and it was like everyone is there pent up with that energy. And then like at the beginning of that U2 one, it's like you hear the crowd just being like, they're at this show, they're excited to be there. U2 is on stage, and you just hear that scream, and then Bono gives it back right there. You know, like he kind of like lets it go too. And there's no you don't get that anywhere else. That is exciting, you know.
We're talking about the joy of listening to live albums or live concert videos. Justin Barney is with us from Radio Milwaukee, music director there. You can join in if you have a favorite you want to share with us at 800-642-1234. Well, let's check out some that you shared on your list. You wrote a piece on this, and the first one you mentioned as a favorite is Sam Cooke at the Harlem Square Club in 1963. Here's a taste of Twistin' the Night Away. Sam Cooke there, Justin. And my first thought on hearing this one is, you know, it's not like studio quality audio. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. It actually really sounds like it might sound if you were there in the club.
For sure. One of the things I love about that is like Sam Cooke kind of like he had this kind of he was very put together. You know, he was like a crossover artist, and he appealed to black and white audiences. And then that recording, he's live at the Harlem Square Club. He's in Harlem. It's 1963. All those like Twistin' the Night Away, that song is up like maybe up like up a beat and a half from what it normally is. And so it just has this like this new tempo. And he is just like you can just hear him kind of like lean back and get into it in a way that you like that he just didn't do on his studio albums. And you definitely feel like what it is to be at the Harlem Square Club in 1963.
All right, now let's move in another direction. This is one you've mentioned, and it's on your list, a recent album by Sylvan Esso out just last month. Here's a listen to the song Die Young.
I was a firecracker baby with something to prove. Contend with the living blues. I couldn't miss it. I never knew. Chain reaction, but you're holding the fuse. I was gonna die young.
Now this is a different kind of live album. Justin, tell us about this one.
For sure. Like, first, like in that, you just hear how Amelia Meath, the lead singer, she just has the crowd in the palm of her hand. And that is how she performs with this energy. Like she's got you. She has you right where she wants you. And Sylvan Esso, normally they actually, that band met at the Cactus Club, which is a block from my house right now here in Milwaukee. And they're a duo, and Nick Sanborn, he does like all the electronic blips and bloops, and she is the lead singer. And for that record, they kind of like deconstructed those songs, and they gave them they built in a live band made up of a bunch of people from Wisconsin, and they toured it with they called it With. So it was like normally the duo, they broke it out into a huge band, and then they played it at a couple concerts, and they recorded that. And if you see them, you just see the control that Amelia Meath has. And you can just like hear her bending those notes and kind of like holding you in the palm of her hand like she does there.
Let's go to a caller now at 800-642-1234. James is with us in Appleton. James, hi.
Hey, great. Thanks for having me on. During the about 90 through 94, I was deep on Dead tour, and you know, nothing like the for the head like good old Dead. But you know, even though they had all those bootlegs that were going around at the time, I think one of my definitely go-to albums for a live album would have to be Without a Net. I think that captures that time frame on tour of the Dead, and you know, you can't beat on that album the song Victim of the Crime. It is by far completely stellar. You gotta love Bobby, and that's all I have to say.
James, thanks so much for that call. And you mentioned the Grateful Dead earlier, Justin, and that's a band that existed, I think, mainly to be live. You don't think of them as a studio band in the first place, really.
For sure. And that was a bit of that sparked this whole thing is on Amazon. There is I think it's called A Long and Strange Trip, and it's a whole doc about the Dead. And that was kind of like their whole thing was this is an ephemeral experience that will only be here and you can only feel it if you're in person. And then at kind of the end of the doc, they talk about how that got changed around, because in living in the moment and those songs, and what makes those concerts great is that they are truly in the moment and they're responding to each other in real time, that they also became the most recorded band of all time, and heads go through and listen obsessively to these live performances that were kind of built to exist and then to leave, to be done with. But, you know, the culture has kind of like grabbed these moments that should float away and have scrutinized them to no end in a joy. And I think that is the joy of it, is that you can take this thing that existed only to exist and you can live in that moment as they were living in the moment when you hear those Dead albums.
It's Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Justin Barney from Radio Milwaukee about great live albums and concert videos. You can call in with your favorite at 800-642-1234. Justin, we came back in with Prince there, and we'd already had you booked for this. This weekend, I saw the Prince Estate had put up this 1985 concert on YouTube and elsewhere, fundraising for COVID-19 relief. I watched a good chunk of it over the weekend. Astounding, just amazing to go back and watch a guy at his peak having tons of fun, sell it, like all of his energy on the table there. Do you like to get out and see videos as well as the live albums?
Well, in doing this, I think that one of the things that kind of like seeing everybody do the stream, it kind of made me miss the audience. So like I have definitely like been participating in some of the streams, but the seeing people do live streams made me realize how important I am as an audience member. You know, I was flattered with myself, honestly. Rob, have you ever seen Prince? Did you see him live?
I never saw him in concert. You know, I listened back in the day. I had Purple Rain and other albums. I never saw a show. And every time I watched Prince on a, you know, live video, I was like, why? Why did I not go see him live?
But I think that that is part of the greatness of these things is like, I never saw Prince either, but you can see him in that video and you can listen to him here and you can like kind of, you know, listening to them live is a bit of their personality. Prince was very much like Amelia Meath here, where it's like their body is a part of the show. And the kind of like that attitude that they have the whole time is something that is kind of hard to get on tape. But when you get them in front of an audience, that performance aspect is something that like we'll never get to see with Prince because we never saw him, but you can definitely hear it in these live albums and see it on those videos.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Steve is with us in Antioch. Steve, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Steve?
Oh, well, I wanted to tell you, I got some both on you guys. I have seen Prince live.
Ah!
Yeah, that was one of the most fantastic things I've ever seen. But the
Steve.
Album I wanted to bring up was How the West Was Won by Led Zeppelin.
Ooh. Zeppelin was known for great live shows and albums. Yeah, tell us about that one, Steve.
My library is closed, and I have had this album for the last 2.5 months, and it is just fantastic. It's from L.A. Forum and L.A. Coliseum, and it has all of the classic songs live.
Awesome. Steve, thank you so much. Yeah, Zeppelin, I know your serious Zeppelin fans love the live shows, Justin.
Yeah, and it's like Zeppelin is one of those bands where sometimes I've seen bands, like I saw The Who once, like kind of on a whim, and like I like The Who just as much as anybody else, and I would imagine Zeppelin's kind of the same thing, where You're listening to the live show, and the live show is, it's a culmination of an entire career. And so with Zeppelin, I just can't believe it's probably just hit after hit after hit. So it's just like, it's like a greatest hits album and a live experience at the same time.
Thanks a lot, Steve. We'll go to Adam now in Mineral Point. Adam, hi.
Hi.
Are you there, Adam?
Yeah, this is Adam.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would just like to bring up Peter Frampton live, 1975. Just a wonderful, wonderful live album. And that was probably, that would have been probably the first live album that I remember listening to. And my dad had that record and on vinyl, of course, and just a great album.
Adam, thanks a lot. And that's one, you know, Do You Feel Like We Do? That's one where you can definitely hear the audience going nuts at the solos and all the bits of it. It's a very long song. It's a nice late night classic rock radio song to hear, keep you entertained while you're driving for a while. That is the biggest Peter Frampton album, that live one, I think, Justin.
Yeah, Peter Frampton Comes Alive is one of the great albums that, like, Peter Frampton, like, was, you know, wasn't exactly famous when he released that, but that is the album that, like, blew him into stardom. Was a live, usually you release a live album when you have a body of work and then you kind of release that. And Peter Frampton, it was one of those rare things where the live album was way bigger than all the studio albums, just like a total anomaly, which is super cool to see.
Thanks for bringing that one up, Adam. We're talking about great live albums to listen to get that feel of the live show, even if you can't go right about now. Justin Barney with us from Radio Milwaukee. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Dan is with us now in Appleton. Dan, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Dan?
Courtney Barnett. It's a YouTube video. It's just called Live in Melbourne. And this gal, it covers a great range of her work. It's about an hour and 20 minutes, and she even does a cover of Cannonball.
Wow. Okay, I only know studio work by Courtney Barnett, Justin.
Yeah, Courtney Barnett is one of the great songwriters that, you know, is currently releasing music. And I talked to Courtney Barnett once. I interviewed her. She called me from Australia. And she's kind of like, in her music, she's kind of like famously shy. And in talking to her, she barely said a word. And I was like, this, that is. And so seeing the live experience is like, I can imagine it is getting a bit of flavor of her personality and also getting that like great songwriting and, you know, just kind of seeing how she reacts. She's also a left-handed guitar player, which is, you know, must be fun to see if you're watching that video.
Thanks a lot for the call. Patrick is with us now in Green Bay. Patrick, hi.
Hi, thank you. I love talking about music, and I have two things briefly to mention. And this is where I'm going to probably be bringing in the concert video piece of this. For me, the Talking Heads Stop Making Sense. And
oh, yeah.
Whether it's the record, the you know, just listening to the concert, but the concert video is is far and away my favorite to watch, and it's directed by Jonathan Demme before he was doing movies. It what I appreciate so much about it is that I believe before a lot of kind of editing techniques came where with constantly moving the camera all the time, that is,
yeah,
drives me crazy. And when you watch Stop Making Sense, that's not you. The camera stays still, stays still for sometimes for very long shots.
Patrick, thanks a lot for bringing that up. And good news, that one was on Justin's list, I think. Let's give a listen to a little bit of Stop Making Sense and Burning Down the House. So, yeah, talk about this one, Justin.
Yeah, Stop Making Sense is the pinnacle. It is the It is the ideal of what every show sets out to be. The thing that I like most about Stop Making Sense is the motion of the show. It starts off with Psycho Killer, and it's just David Byrne on guitar. And then with each song, they add an element. And they add it, like, they add a bass player, and then the drums come in, and then the background singers. And the whole thing has this kind of, like, building momentum towards it that is truly unparalleled in anything else.
Thanks a lot for that call and all your calls. Justin, no time to play anymore, though I think we're going to go out with a little bit of Grateful Dead. Does it make you hungry to go out and see a real live show as soon as we're able to do that?
Yes, of course it does. And I did want to say that one thing that I did was make a playlist of all of my favorite live things. And with the audience clapping out of every song and into, it's like a perfect concert that you made just for yourself. And I encourage everybody to do that.
Justin, thank you so much for joining us. As always, it's been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Rob. This is great.
But talking to Justin Barney, music director for 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. He talked with us about the appeal of the live album and shared some of his favorites. We'll get a link up at WPR.org/Central Time to his blog, where I think he's got that playlist he just mentioned. And you can keep sharing your favorite live concert albums and videos over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go out with one more live track of the Grateful Dead playing here in 1972. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.